the largest barrage of rockets fired into Israel from the Gaza Strip since the truce back in 2012. An operation called Breaking the Silence, one in which the Palestinian group, the Islamic Jihad, claimed responsibility in retaliation for Israel killing three of its fighters. Israel threatened to reoccupy Gaza, but so far has only retaliated with rocket fire. The Islamic Jihad, through Egyptian mediation, agreed to a truce if Israel also agreed to abide by it. In this edition of The Debate, we'll discuss the bigger picture. Why year on year for 7 years now, 1.5 million Palestinians in Gaza remain cut off from the outside world, called the largest open-air prison, while the international community has done nothing to help them. And on the political side, we'll discuss the so-called peace process and whether it's a dead end for the Palestinians.
Israeli airstrikes have hit targets in the besieged Palestinian territory. The first hit took place on Tuesday when three Palestinians were killed in southern Gaza. This sparked a barrage of rockets fired into Israel from the coastal enclave. Palestinians said the shelling was in response to Israel's violation of a ceasefire, which the two sides agreed to in November 2012. The truce was mediated by the then Egyptian government, led by deposed President Mohamed Morsi. It was brokered to end an 8-day Israeli war on Gaza, which took the lives of scores of Palestinians and six Israelis. The truce also called on both Israelis and Gazans to stop violence against each other. However, it has been violated time and again by Tel Aviv.
The ceasefire has been violated by the Israeli regime at least 1,400 times. This is according to the Palestinian factions, according to international humanitarian workers monitoring the situation in Gaza, and according to human rights organizations, both local and international. So almost on a daily basis, Israel has violated the ceasefire agreement. And there isn't a day that goes by that Israel doesn't attack the Gaza Strip, whether they attack fishermen, they attack farmers.
In addition to the almost daily attacks, people in the Gaza Strip are suffering from an Israeli blockade imposed on the territory since 2007. Gazans face constant shortages of basic materials such as food, medicines, and fuel. Hospitals often face insufficient equipment to treat patients, with the region's sole power plant forced to shutter over the fuel crisis. Things have even gotten worse for Gazans in the past months, as the military-backed new authorities in Egypt have continued to close Rafah Crossing, the only gateway for Gaza to the outside world, bypassing Israel.
What Palestinians want is an immediate end of hostilities, and they also want Tel Aviv to abide by the agreement that was signed in November of 2012.
Palestinians in the impoverished coastal sliver have repeatedly called on the international community to help lift the Israeli siege. However, nothing has happened so far, as major world powers and bodies remain silent about Tel Aviv's measures. The Israeli blockade of Gaza and its continued attacks have already caused severe hardships for the Palestinians in what's been described as the world's largest open-air prison. Now, with the latest eruption of violence there, fears are mounting about further attacks by Israel, which is used to committing crimes against Palestinians in blatant violations of international law.
Let me introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate, journalist and human rights activist Joe Cotrone joins us from Gaza. And from London, we have Richard Millett. He's a journalist and political commentator. Gentlemen, welcome. Joe Cotrone, let me get an idea from you. Exchange of fire has occurred. It's been over 24 hours. How do things stand there in the Gaza Strip?
Well, at the moment, there's an agreement, or perhaps an understanding is a better term, to resume the ceasefire that was brokered between Israel and Palestinian resistance groups in November 2012. And I believe we're all simply waiting to see if it holds.
Richard Millett, let's look at the reasons why this happened, and I'm going to start, and you could stop me when you think it's enough. Israelis killing a judge at a border crossing with Jordan. Israelis killing three fighters of the Islamic Jihad through these drone strikes, the main reason why the Islamic Jihad fired onto Israel. Israel killing, and this is all in a span of a week, Israel killing three Palestinians in the Gaza Strip in the so-called buffer zone. Not to mention, of course, Israel's seven-year siege on the Gaza Strip, which has been called a form of collective punishment. And I'm looking down on a week's worth of Israeli human rights violations in the occupied Palestinian territory, of which I'm scrolling down on this weekly report by PCHR.org, which runs pages and pages. I mean, is what Israel doing right in the occupied territories, and of course not to mention the siege on the Gaza Strip?
Well, you're not giving the whole picture of what's going on. You're obviously blaming Israel for everything, for breaking the ceasefire. Israel had its own forces fired on, which started this whole process off over the last few days. Israel received 40 rockets on its civilians yesterday. This is all financed, all these, you know, you're looking at, you're giving this impression of poor Gazans, but all this money, all the aid that is supposedly going to the Palestinians in Gaza is being put into rockets. So you have to blame the leaders of Islamic Jihad, of Hamas. They don't care about their people. They're more intent on spending their resources on building and financing rockets that they can then fire at Israel. So the buck stops with Hamas and the buck stops with Islamic Jihad. You cannot blame Israel.
The bigger picture is what we'd like to get at. Why don't you complete perhaps what Richard Millett was referring to, Joe Catron?
Well, I'm certainly in favor of keeping the big picture in mind, and the big picture here is that Gaza is an enclave that was created through the ethnic cleansing of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in 1948. That's the big picture, if we're to keep it in mind. But in the immediate circumstances with the current escalation, it's funny that we hear that Israeli soldiers were attacked. We don't hear that they were attacked after entering the Gaza Strip, launching a ground invasion. This is something that will prompt an attack when it is done anywhere in the world. If United States soldiers enter Mexico or vice versa, it is entirely possible that an attack will ensue. This is nothing out of the ordinary. What Israel and its supporters want is the freedom to attack with impunity, with no consequences. And that's what's so farcical here.
Well, Richard Millett, I'm assuming when Joe Catron says farcical, I assume part of the angle on that is, of course, the lack of international concern, to say the least, about what is happening in the Gaza Strip. We've heard some statements come out, and I'm looking at, for example, the EU Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton. I strongly condemn the recent rocket attacks on Israel. Or how about David Cameron, the Prime Minister, addressing the Israeli Knesset just a day or so ago, in which he made no mention of the settlements? I mean, don't you think the UN has come out saying by 2020 Israel is not going to be, the Gaza Strip is not going to be livable. Don't you think there's an obligation that the international community should carry out, at least regarding the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip?
I think David Cameron did actually mention in the settlements. He said Israel should look at the settlement situation and the Palestinians should also look to stop incitement. I mean, the Gaza Strip is well financed by the United Nations Work and Relief Agency. The Palestinians are, I think, nearest the top of the list for the largest aid receivers in the entire world, and they squander that on rockets. And the Palestinian leadership really don't want to sort out the problems of their own people because they want to keep it as a festering sore to attract the sympathy of the world. And the world is getting kind of, you know, fed up with obviously giving all this money towards the leadership of Fatah and Hamas and seeing the huge corruption on the Fatah side, which wastes the money. And on the Hamas side, the money is put into military with which to attack Israel, Israeli civilians. So there's no shortage of sympathy for the Palestinians. Unfortunately, the sympathy runs out when it comes to the leadership of the Palestinians.
Well, Joe Catron, perhaps you could either confirm what Richard Millett said there or state otherwise when it comes to the funds going into Gaza, I guess, from the UN, UNRWA, and how Richard Millett said that that's diverted into rockets.
Well, we're hearing some rather comical claims about UN money coming to Gaza, being used for rockets. Without getting into budgetary details, I can tell you that that's not how it works. All of the UN agencies have public budgets, and anyone who wants to see how their money is spent is welcome to go and review them. Yes, Gaza has an aid economy. This is because of a siege maintained by Israel that prevents any possibility of a functional economy here. There are very few exports allowed. Fishermen are not allowed by the Israeli Navy to use the vast majority of their territorial waters. 35% of the Gaza Strip's farmland is inaccessible because of the risk of Israeli gunfire. So it's rather clear why the international community is stuck with paying the bill for international crimes. What's less clear is why they have the patience to continue it. I do agree that this patience seems to be running out. Of course, I disagree with the reasons for that.
Well, why do you think there's a patience for them to have this continued? How is the patience not run out after 7 years, you think?
That is a very good question. I wish I had a certain answer to give you. All I can say is that Israel has some very strong lobbies in a number of Western countries, the United States among them. And for whatever reason, the United States exercises some degree of influence among other nations of the West.
Well, let me ask you the same question, Richard Millett. When it comes to patience, I should say that Israel also has patience, because the way that it's controlling the Gaza Strip through the border crossings is that it's called a slow death by some descriptions. Control.